Blog Talk Radio.
To mention the tan again.
Oh, and we didn't do the live read.
Oh.
Go!
Did you? Okay, it's working.
The Metal Injection Livecast is brought to you by Outlaw Gentlemen and Shady Ladies, the new album from Danish metal band Volbeat, produced by former Anthrax member Rob Caggiano, featuring the new single The Hangman's Body Count, available to pre-order on iTunes now.
This is...
What?
This is Chuck Landington, and another exciting edition of the Metal Injection Livecast is about to begin. Tonight might be WrestleMania, but I've been wrestling with my addiction to rocket fuel for years. Where is my pay-per-view, biatch? Here's the damn show.
Yes, professionalism reigns on the Metal Injection
goodness.
Livecast.
If only everybody knew. If only everybody knew.
It looked like it was recording. Nobody knows.
Did I not say, Rob, are you recording?
I was recording. There was just nothing being recorded.
I just wanted to
say, record button was pressed.
My read was extremely professional. So
the only professional part of this podcast was that Volbeat read.
I'm going to say that I am the one who isn't professional.
Oh, you usually
I will take the heat.
You usually are.
I will take the heat.
I'm embarrassed in front of our special guest for the evening, Jake from Periphery. Mm-hmm. A tanned Jake from Periphery.
Farmer tan.
Before we were recording, Darren confused him for a Mexican, which is very racist.
I thought that when I walked in. But he also got
Did you think
very
he was
thick,
the help?
He's got thick black hair also as well. That's,
yeah.
That helped.
He could be Sephardic. You don't know.
The illusion be created.
Was it my facial hair?
Yeah. The facial hair definitely looks... It's a very thick goatee, I have to say.
He's taking a nap in the corner also when I came in.
With the broom over him.
Five more minutes.
So... We're excited. It's going to be a fun time after the show. We're kind of looking past the show already.
We just
want
it to be over so we can eat and watch WrestleMania.
Stop. We're going
to
eat a lot of gross food and watch world of men touch each other. Mm-hmm. Noah just gave me the, "Are you recording, eyes?" And I'm like,
yeah.
Yes, I'm recording.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Can people in the chat hear us?
I see the levels.
Because people in the chat are saying, is anyone hearing anything?
Someone already, yeah, no, they should definitely be hearing something. I hope.
Let me turn my computer.
I see the level. So.
Yeah. Okay. There we
well,
go.
Well, if not, I mean, you know, at least we're talking to each other. That's always
we
that's
hear
all
us.
That that's right.
That's what's important.
And we're recording for people to download later and hear us as well.
We have a phone number 646-929-1357.
So earlier on the first show we did today that didn't get recorded.
The pre-show.
Yeah, on the pre-show on Sunday Night Heat. We were talking, you asked Jake if his band were foodies.
Oh, yeah.
And it reminded me of this guy that my girlfriend has on her Instagram feed. She showed him to me. And he used to post, like, pictures of, you know, like, cheeseburgers and, like, nice cheeseburger joints and all this crap. And they started dating this girl. It was like some kind of, you know, like she's like a goth model or some shit, like, and she made him into a vegan. Like, she forced him to be a vegan. So now, like, every picture is vegan, vegan, vegan shit with, like, 90 vegan hashtags, like vegan crunk and, like, oh, look what a
raw
great
food.
Vegan I am. Yeah, raw food.
Eat clean.
Hashtag eat clean.
Did he delete all the pictures of all the burgers?
No, he did, but he left a couple. So then, like, people harassing him. Didn't you have, like, fucking, like, ribs on your thing, like, 2 weeks ago?
They were tofu ribs.
Yeah. So then so then the news was that he got dumped by her or whatever. But, like, he's still a vegan. He's assuring people he's still a vegan. That's very important.
Only for another week.
Hashtag vegan crunk. That was the one that got
I can't
me.
Believe that's a real thing.
What does crunk have to do with anything? Like, why is that?
You can get crunk without eating beef or chicken or any sort of meat.
Wait,
I don't
crunk?
Get it. Why is crunk? Why is that related to crunk?
Isn't that what Little John used to
yeah.
say?
Yeah.
Does that mean crazy drunk? I never really thought about it.
Yeah, I think that's what it means. Yeah. I mean, I'm not of the crunk nation.
You're the darkest person in the room, so you shouldn't be into that.
Excuse me.
He's a swarthy gentleman. But what does that have to do with, like, fucking tofu?
Maybe
though?
like getting your vegan crunk on, like partying hard, like getting drunk on vegan food. I mean, I don't think it makes sense. It
maybe vegans
sense.
Get drunker than people who eat meat because they don't have a bunch of meat in their stomach.
Yeah, because they have blood in their system.
They have nothing to soak it up.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Except for all that cardboard.
Just drank a medicine dropper of beer. I'm out, guys. So wasted.
We were also talking about that you just got back from the road. Any crazy tour stories? Any life changing shroom experiences?
No. This was such a fast tour that we really didn't have a chance to have any fun whatsoever. We just played and traveled, and I wish I had something really cool to tell you guys, but
nothing.
The Deftones were great. They you know, for being such a huge band, they still hang out and just they're normal dudes.
They're not rock stars, you know?
No, not at
not
all.
Not like Periphery's rock stars.
Not like us.
Like...
We're totally douchey and full of ourselves. but they're totally cool, and I think we're going to tour with them again sometime soon.
Oh.
Really got along great with them.
Well, it's not going to be this summer.
No.
Because you're on the summer slot.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty fun
Unless they
bill.
Add Deftones to the bill for some reason.
That
would be crazy.
We need more death metal bands on Summer Slaughter, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not very slaughtery. It's a great lineup.
But it's not. I feel like people just think it's a death metal tour or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more, it's definitely, I'm excited.
I thought Slaughter was on it. I thought it was their tour. Yeah.
No.
I got all excited.
So does Periphery get groupies? Do you guys get, like, I know you guys get plenty of fan boys. Do you get fan girls?
No, it's just dudes. No, disagree, but she thinks that, you know, there's a bunch of girls out there trying to attack us, but
it's really
all dudes.
Noah, is that true? Do you think that?
I think they have groupies for sure. I mean, when we went to NAMM, there was a girl that ran up to Jake and, like, lifted her shirt and showed him her tattoos.
But that was you, though.
No.
Hey, girl.
I wouldn't get my boyfriend's band tattooed on me.
Like, technically, it was a girl.
I want to clarify that, because she didn't, like, run at me with, like, you know, her shirt over her head.
Well, that's
how I'm imagining.
That's the way Noah saw the situation, and I can see why she would say that. But no, I wasn't as gratuitous.
Campion 95 in the chat wants to know, Jake, did you throw anyone off the stage and kill them while on tour?
Oh, come on, Campion, that's not right.
I think,
you don't have to acknowledge.
I think we made a bunch of Randy Blythe jokes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's like the beam of the moment.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just there's when you play the clubs that the Deftones play, they're much bigger and the security is way tighter, and there's all these signs all over the place about people not being able to stage dive or have any fun. And
well, were the stages bigger in the sense, like, higher up on the ground?
Yeah,
where, like,
yeah. So if people were jumping, like, it was definitely an insurance risk for sure. So.
Yeah.
So Noah, was there ever a time, like, all right, so obviously the girl with the pulling her tits out, did that? First of all, let's get back to that.
Wait, did she pull her? No, she didn't.
No,
what,
no.
So wait, what happened? What happened? Jake, give us your point of view.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Got that wrong.
Well, you guys know how NAMM is, where it's just people everywhere, and it was just kind of like this person came that's a huge Periphery fan. She just came running up to me out of nowhere. I didn't even see her, and she just started, she wanted to take a picture, and you know, she knew exactly who I was and everything like that. So she had some Periphery tattoos somewhere on the side of her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. On, like, so, a ribcage?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it wasn't...
Over her ovaries, like where her ovaries would be, to be more specific.
Mm-hmm. No, we should let Noah tell the story, because she knows all the details.
Were you really, like, butthurt? Like,
no,
you...
I don't care. Like, they're all little girls, and I know that I have a lot more to offer than all of them. The only thing
I feel
that
like
bothers
Noah cares
me,
a little.
The only thing that bothers me, which happens with the guys and the girls, is that I'm standing next to Jake with my hands all over him, uh-huh, and they don't realize that I'm his girlfriend.
Oh, so what bothers you is you're not acknowledged.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I get his attention taken away.
It's like, oh my God, it's Jake from Peru. Oh my God. And oh my God, it's Noah.
Yeah, Jake, get the fuck out of here.
It's Noah, the girlfriend of Jake from Peru.
We did, me and Noah have we have the same sick sense of humor, so we did actually play a joke on some fans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I told you that. The story when those drunk guys asked me to take their picture with Jake, and then he's like, oh, do you want a picture?
Oh, yeah.
And then we just started making out in front of them.
Oh, that's good.
And then the guy was like, can I get a kiss too?
I was about to say, you probably got, like, so many homoerotic offers from your fans, because that's the level of dedication that Periphery has, right?
Yeah, it's weird, like, when people come up to me and tell me they like my band or whatever, they, you know, they say things like, oh, you know that part in the song, it totally made me jizz, man, like, really made me, like, gave me like four boners, and I'm like,
how romantic.
Cool. Did you like the song then?
I shoot my load to Periphery.
Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of talk.
No, I involuntarily come in my pants when I hear terrible music, so I'm really angry at you for that.
Yeah. I asked my girlfriend to leave the room when I listened to Periphery. It's very intimate. It's very
intimate. It's bizarre. I wonder where it came from.
Who the fuck would, like, go up to another, you know, with gay or not? Like, who would just go up to somebody and say that?
I feel like they just don't know what else to say. Like, how do you start a conversation?
I think I know what it is. I think I know. It's the band's sense of humor, because we're very prolific on the internet and we post a lot of silly stuff, and we do make a lot of jokes in that vein when we're hanging out, or if it's in our videos or whatever. So I think, like, in order for people who like our music to feel like they have some sort of sense of, you know, or they feel like they know our sense of humor, uh-huh, they try to reciprocate that. So.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, you know, you wouldn't go up to other dude, you know.
No,
because
I have sense.
Right, exactly. So they're not getting your sense of humor correctly.
No, they're not. If they really knew the stuff we really say, then they wouldn't listen to us.
Which is?
We're so
they just make
up
math jokes.
I think
we
like,
talk about science.
From personal experience, I feel like just there could just be parts of your songs that are like so like out there, like wow, how did they think of this? Then it's in a sense orgasmic, like orally,
yeah,
A-U-R-A-L-L-Y.
I hope people are getting that out of the music. Yeah. But you know, they don't really have to tell me about their bodily functions.
Like, yeah, like when I wouldn't go up to Meshuggah and be like, oh my god.
But you did.
I don't say that, you know, I wouldn't go like, hey, Soul Burn made me jizz.
I took such a dump when I listened to Meshuggah. It felt so good.
Oh, my God, I get such diarrhea to Meshuggah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, everybody has a Meshuggah story. Misha used to...
Nice.
Misha used to bother the shit out of those guys when they played in town. That was a long time ago. So, you know,
He fanboyed out.
There's a word that we use to he fanboyed out on Meshuggah. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's good.
Drazen Petrovic Destroyer says Rob shoots his load to recordings of his Sirius show. Is that true?
That is not true. It's actually a little embarrassing to hear back my show.
Why?
The few times that I've listened to it,
why embarrassed?
I just like end up critiquing,
be so humble.
Critiquing myself. Like, oh, I should have done this part differently.
Isn't that good? I do that with this show.
Ultimately, I don't listen to my show. I don't like listening to it. Not as much as the podcast, though. I'll totally orgasm, too. Cause it's hilarious.
It's a big orgy.
Yeah. El Duderino asks, what's Jake's shoe size?
What?
Confidential.
Why is that important?
I don't know.
Well, it's 9. I have very small feet, so here you go.
9, I feel, is an above-average shoe size.
Is it?
I feel like 7 or 8 is...
Oh.
I don't know, says the guy who has size 13 feet.
Is that right?
Clown feet.
Bigfoot.
It's weird because I busted my leg a few years ago, so I feel like one leg is a little wider than the other. So it's really hard to shop for shoes because I feel like I'm actually like a 12, a size 12, but I need the width of a 13 shoe. Maybe I should just get size 12.
Like wide.
Double wide. Yeah, double wide.
Like rolling papers.
Custom kicks.
Yeah, maybe I need to step it up.
Signature shoes.
You're right. I need like a Vans sponsor or like Airwalk. What would be like a... Like
Airwalk?
What brand would probably represent the Rob aesthetic? Let's see.
Who makes those pointy shoes?
Crocs.
Rob Crocs?
Rob Crocs.
No, Darren is Crocs.
Yeah.
I guess you are Airwalk.
Skechers.
Oh yeah, those like big Skechers shoes with the wheels on the bottom.
Maybe I can get some LA gear. I think
LA Lights.
British Knights.
LA Lights. Yeah.
K-Swiss.
If I was like a kid growing up now, I would totally have those Skechers with the rollerblades.
Of course you would.
I think that is like if they could really perfect it, I think that would be great. Because have you ever like been on a walk where you're like, this is taking too long? I need to move faster.
Are you talking about Heelys?
Yeah, Heelys. Yeah,
Heelys.
I think that's a pretty cool invention. I wish they could really like perfect it. So
if
they
made it look like a Converse shoe.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the heel has to be very thick because it has to house the wheel.
Rob is an expert on Heelys.
I definitely stare. I'm going to stop
I think
fidgeting
we need
with
new
my
equipment.
Mic.
All that money from Volbeat, we should get a new mic.
Yeah, you're right. We have a phone call.
Oh.
562, you're on the air with the Metal Injection Livecast. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, it's Mario, California.
Hey,
Rob.
Hey.
When are you going to become less of a faggot?
Great question.
Rolly
shoes.
Rolly
shoes?
He asked when Rob will become less of a faggot.
Is that the defining characteristic of a faggot? Is that you wear Heelys?
Well, that and taking dick.
That and taking dick?
Yeah.
Well, the Heelys I can work on, but I don't know about the taking dick. Any further questions, Mario?
I don't know. I got bored and felt like seeing what you guys were up to.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, we're just talking about Heelys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how he's now suddenly conversational. He just called Rob a faggot, and then he's like, oh, well, he answered my question. All right, let's just talk.
Moving on.
Let's just shoot the shit a little bit.
Well, Well, I got to figure out something nice to say.
You do? When you start with faggot, I don't think you really are, like, beholden to saying anything good after that. But that was nice of you. Thank you for recovering, saving your phone call.
Yeah.
It was good. It started off a little touchy, you know. I thought you, you know,
that was
a little
harsh. You didn't
know where
it was going to go.
Yeah. We thought maybe you'd escalate, like go past faggot, but you went the other way. So that was good. You're unpredictable.
Yeah. Well, I got another question, kind of, I guess, in a way personal. How old was everybody when you guys moved out of your parents' house?
I don't even remember.
I was 19. It was when I started college. So I graduated high school and then I moved out.
I think like 23, maybe?
21 for me with my girlfriend for 18. 3 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Harlow.
How old are you?
21.
Do you still live with your parents?
No, I moved out a couple months ago.
Huh. Before you moved out, was it hard sneaking men into your room while your parents were home?
Oh! Who's the faggot now? Oh, Rob, are you now going to go conversational again after you called him
nice.
A faggot?
So Mario, how's your day? What's up? What'd you have for lunch? Did you have brunch?
Huh?
Did you have brunch?
Brunch?
Yeah, that's when you combine breakfast and lunch.
Hashtag vegan crunk.
You know what? Not yet, but I'm actually getting pretty hungry.
Oh yeah? Did you have any coffee?
You gonna eat some dick? Oh! Oh! So how you been? How's the weather where you are?
Hashtag dick crunk.
Dick vegan crunk. No, dick is meat. Oh!
Did you have any coffee?
Back to coffee.
Did you have coffee this morning?
No, not today. I don't have a coffee maker yet.
Did you have anything to drink?
No.
Did you eat anything?
I had an apple.
How many apples? How many apples did you eat?
Three.
Oh. Oh, well. I hung up on him anyway.
Okay. A one-list goodbye.
Our phone number is 646-929-1357. We have another caller, 913. Which name were you from?
Kansas?
He was Kansas.
Is your name Kansas, or are you from Kansas? Or is your name
Kansas
from...
Or are you in Kansas?
I'm Steven. I'm from Kansas.
Steven from Kansas. What's up?
Dude. Okay, so I have always respected your interviews. I love the Red Court interviews. You are a great video journalist, sir, and that guy was a dick. And I respect your handling of him kindly. Yes. Anyways, so I went to New England Metal and Hardcore Fest last year. Got to tell you, this year looks like it sucked dick. Speaking
like
of dicks. Called.
Oh, no.
But I would go to it if I could, if I wasn't from Kansas. I went for the Killswitch reunion thing. You know, the first, I have a day in for a tattoo across my chest, man. What do you guys think of the new Killswitch? I haven't seen a review for it.
I'm pretty sure we reviewed it, so you could.
Well,
see it.
I didn't look at it. I'm sorry, I don't look that.
But who reviewed it? You or Frank or something?
No, just we have a staff of reviewers.
Well, that's what I was asking you. It was
yeah. No, but
reviewed.
I
well,
heard,
what do you guys think?
I like it. It sounds like I mean, it's nothing new. It's metalcore, but it's really good. It's better than.
Nothing.
Their last few albums.
Better than nothing.
Better than nothing.
Do you think it was better than As Daylight Dies?
Which one was? What's the cover of that? Is that the first one? That word?
It's like a yellow. I think the Killswitch Engage is yellow or something.
Oh yeah,
like
no. I stopped listening to Killswitch after like the end of Heartache. So
okay.
This is the first thing that piqued my.
Yeah, I know. I don't even listen to them anymore. I haven't even. My license plate is KLSWTCH. Haven't even listened to the new CD. I just don't even listen
like,
to it anymore. It is.
You shouldn't be repping them so hard since you don't listen to them anymore.
They'll
always be what they'll be, you know. They are what they are, but I've moved on. I mean, they impacted my life to a point. I'm not going to
I'm saying, you know, check out the new album. I think you will enjoy it. If you like, you know, old Killswitch.
If you like the old stuff.
I like the heavier stuff. But, I mean, honestly, I listened to one song, and it sounded like it hadn't even been tracked yet. It sounded like the bass guitar was an 8-bit. It was like, it was different.
Well, you are actually in luck, because I have a clip from the new Killswitch album.
Oh.
You guys ready?
Yeah,
sure. A first time on this show. Here it is.
That's not bad.
It's like a big departure, though.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's like traditional metalcore.
It doesn't sound. Yeah, it doesn't sound very metalcore actually to me.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I hear the math there.
Jake, are you a Killswitch fan?
I love Killswitch.
Did you hear the new album?
I heard a little bit of it.
Do you listen to music?
not as much as I do. I wish I did. But I heard a little bit of the new album, and I thought it was really good. And Jesse's back, so you know you got that to listen to too.
Yeah, I definitely think you should give it a shot.
Well, you know, part of me is met Killswitch, and they're just rock star status. But I don't know. Anyways, you guys get all the good shows. I wish there were more shows in Kansas. I can't complain, well, though.
You know how you can get more good shows? Move to a
How's
fucking
that?
Town that people care about.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in Kansas City, so it's not like I'm in a small town. We get dicked on all the time.
Kansas City's pretty big.
It's all routing, man. It's not exactly the best way to go out to the West. So a lot of bands avoid going to Kansas City.
See, you're getting some inside info there. What's the Kansas that's a good town to go to for sure? Where do all the shows go?
I have no idea.
They go to Lawrence. Lawrence is where KU's at, and it's like the most liberal part of the Midwest, really.
Is that
Lawrence
a good thing
really
or a bad
cool
thing?
Are
you a liberal?
Oh, Lawrence is awesome. Oh. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not a fucking redneck like the rest of the goddamn state.
like the rest of the faggots here. I'm not progressive, fucking faggot.
I mean, my roommate played in the same house that the Westboro Baptist Church raised their kids at. I mean, that's where.
Oh, wow.
Lawrence,
yeah.
Kansas was the city that got nuked in the day after, wasn't it?
Well, no, Kansas City got nuked, and, like, I think Lawrence was, like, the outpost that the doctor went to. No, or maybe they might have. I know you
think
on
they
the
got
highway.
Nuked. Because they had nuclear missile silos there, and that's why it was a strategic target.
Yeah, yeah, we're sitting on all the nukes over here, and, like, Whiteman Air Force Base is over here. Mm-hmm. It was really freaky because, you know, all the North Korea shit going on. We saw all the B-2 bombers flying the other day, all of them. So
yeah.
I was just like, holy shit, are they going to do it, you know?
Don't worry about North Korea. They can't even, like... But here's the thing. Not that they can't, you know... They, not that they don't have weapons, but they can't target us. They can send like two nukes at once, and we're going to shoot them both down. The reason we were under constant threat of annihilation from the Soviet Union was because they could launch like 80 missiles at us at once, and we could shoot down like maybe 45 of them, and then the rest would destroy the country. But North Korea can't send more than two missiles at us, and they, you know, our capabilities to take them down are very, very good. There's like zero chance they would actually hit us.
Yeah, the launch pads are like the size of Cape Canaveral. It's not like they're hidden underground.
Right.
So if anything ever happened, we're all good.
Well, you know what you should do? Go to a city where bands play and where you're not a nuclear target. And we should start looking.
I want to go to Boston, man. I went there once for Nymphfest, and I loved it, man. You guys, it's an awesome town.
Or you could go to Philadelphia. That already looks like it was hit by a nuclear strike.
East Coast, man. It's too expensive, though. Too expensive.
I hear you. Well, anything else?
I appreciate it, guys.
Will you be touring with Kansas this year?
I will not be touring with Kansas.
Oh, are you
but check out Conflict. Hey, check out Conflict.
Check out
okay.
Conflict. You check out
Kansas City Hardcore. No, they're really good. They kind of, they're good. But they're about to get big, so if they could play New England Hardcore Metal Fest some year, you guys can hook that up. I know you can.
Definitely. We're the ones responsible for the lineup.
You guys are famous. You guys should do this stuff. You know you're like the shit.
Hmm. We are. We are the shit.
You are. You are. I'm really stoned, guys, so you guys should get stoned as well.
I couldn't tell.
You know what? You're right.
You are correct.
We should get stoned.
You should get the launch box out like I am right now, play some Battlefield, and listen to metal.
We have to do a show, though. I hate to break it to you.
That sucks. I'll stop taking your time. I'll let you get back to it.
All right, man.
Well, thank you for calling in. Have a good night.
You too, sir.
Hang up.
Did I goodbye him?
Yes.
Okay.
Bye.
Come on. Come on, man.
So, Darren, you went to a Met game and you were like on the screen or something, right?
Is what? That...
Oh, it's not.
You're huge.
This,
you're
really
famous.
Bringing this up. This
yeah.
is so retarded. Wow. No, they just we were there and they came over and gave us. Like tickets to the circus, and they said you're going to be on the screen. They're advertising the circus, and here's two free tickets. And
the Ringling
they
Brothers
said
circus?
No, it's a Cirque du Soleil, which they set up a Cirque du Soleil in the Mets like beyond the parking lot of their stadium.
So they gave you a warning that you were going to be on the Megatron.
Yes, they said we're going to come back in like two innings, and we're going to put you on the Tron and just smile into the camera, and that's it. Hold the tickets up.
Look stoked.
Yeah. I mean, it was about 10 degrees outside that day, so it was hard. I think my face was frozen in a smile already anyway.
That sounds so anticlimactic about, like, how they pick the winner. Like, hey, you won, so...
Yeah, there was no game to it. Usually they have you do something, you know. But there was no... They just said, hey, we're just giving these away. Here you go. And smile.
But I... See, like, I always thought it was a surprise.
Yeah.
When you're on the Megatron.
Well, it was a surprise when they told us, but then they came back and filmed it.
No, but, like, I thought that all those reactions, because that one time I went to the Yankees game,
mm-hmm.
and I was so afraid that they would, like, put the camera on me and I would see myself on the Megatron, but now I realize I shouldn't have been afraid because it's all premeditated.
Their Megatron is a Transformer, right?
Whatever.
Jumbotron.
Jumbotron.
Decepticon. But, yeah, no, when they do the kiss cam, we're always afraid we're going to get on the kiss cam because that's so annoying. And then you have to, like,
because you guys don't really kiss?
No, we kiss all the time, actually, but it's just weird to do it in front of 50,000 people, whatever. I don't know. But, yeah. Let me tell that story. I went to a Mets and Yankees game, and they did the kiss cam. If you don't know what a kiss cam is, they show people in the audience and they say, now kiss, you know. And the people have to kiss, and sometimes it's their fucking sister. They don't want to do it. It's funny.
Ew!
You know?
Do they have to like?
No, well they because the camera guy's just picking people at random. So he sees a guy and a girl together. If it's not, you know, a lot of times they'll just go, "Ew, get away from me!" You know. That's
okay, Rob. If we ever go to a baseball game, I don't want to sit next to you.
So they do that, and then they did that with like five people, and they ended it, and then it's like they're inside of a little heart on the screen, right? So they put the camera on the field, and they showed A-Rod and Jeter standing together, and they put the heart around them. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So did they have to kiss?
A little subtle jab at them. But neither one of them is on the field now, so that's good.
Let's see what else happened this week. It's been not a very eventful week for Metal News.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Dave Mustaine did something.
Oh, he did do something.
What'd he do?
I bet he did something crazy.
Trying to find
it's not that crazy because it's like eight pages down on your website.
Well, because Frank posts a lot of blogs.
No.
Blame Frank. Way to go, Noah. Some friend you are.
No, Frank's been on tour, right, Rob?
Stab Frank right in the back.
I think he just went out for the weekend.
He's on tour with Kansas. That guy that just called in. Yeah.
No, he just gave an interview where
Frank did? Or
no,
Dave
Mustaine,
okay.
Where someone asked him what, like, his biggest regret as a song was.
Not being in Megadeth. Oh, I mean Metallica.
Everything on Risk.
Well, actually, he said Crush 'Em was, like, his big, because, like, some, like, they
so bad.
They,
Crush 'Em.
They got to radio with the last song. And their manager was like, all right, we need like a radio, something for the radio, something to really propel Megadeth.
I got it. Crush them.
Yeah. Well, let me find the...
This will make us stars like Metallica.
Here it is. This song is so bad, though.
Crush.
It sounds like a bad Nine Inch Nails
B-side. Yeah. Wait, what am I listening to?
Megadeth?
This is Megadeth?
Yeah.
I want to fuck you like an animal.
Yeah.
Head like a hole, black as your soul.
It sounds like a disco remix of Peace Out.
There is one of those, though, too. A real one.
Well, Iron Cheek asked if this was promoted on WCW. It was.
Yeah,
it was Goldberg's music for a little while.
Here we go. Here comes the hook.
Very intense hook.
Ready? Get to the hook.
Yeah. Crush him.
I bet he was writing this, and he was like, "It's gonna be so good."
It's only lacking a soul clap. If it had soul clap, it would be perfect.
Let's put some soul clap in.
Crush him.
Soul clap.
We here on the Soul Train, little Megadeth for ya.
Here's that. We had huge success with our prior album, Cryptic Writings.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
What kind of huge success did he have? That wasn't that huge. Come on.
So he goes, so we figured why not give the label and our management more to work with?
Yeah, more shitty songs.
Doing Dave Mustaine is giving me gas. I'll do
it. I remember the day our manager at the time, the late Bud Prager, came to my house and he goes, I got an idea. Two words. Crush 'em. The silence was deafening. Look, I wanted to write a hockey song.
A hockey song?
Really?
You like a song for like hockey stadiums?
Oh, I thought you meant like a song about hockey. Because I was sick of convicted sex offender Gary Glitter's song, Rock and Roll, being played in all the arenas. I'm a hockey season ticket holder.
What team is he root for?
Probably the Kings.
Where was I? Oh.
I'm a hockey season ticket holder, and this is a family sport. I didn't want that guy's song anymore. I wanted to write something better. So I wrote this shitty song instead, and it sucks. No. He says, I wrote the riff, and then I see Bud's lyrics, and I think to myself, this isn't what I was thinking. So, yeah, didn't work. Laughed the singer. Despite his feelings about the track, Crush 'Em still hit the number 6 spot on the mainstream rock tracks in 1999. Is that long ago?
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, basically, he is saying that Crush 'Em is like Megadeth's sellout moment.
Right.
Because he's saying we wanted to give the label something to go to radio with. I wasn't really happy with this, but I did it anyway.
He's just backwards, man, because like his sellout song is something nobody likes.
Yeah.
And all his fans like the stuff that didn't do anything.
And the thing is also that since when is hockey a family sport?
Yeah,
that's so
a good
violent.
Point. Yeah,
fighting is allowed in hockey. It's the only mainstream sport other than like boxing where fighting is allowed.
It's a family sport. I take my kids all the time.
He just likes going to
hockey
arenas.
Crush, crash.
Imagine them
crush
playing up. That.
Instead of Wheel Rock.
Yeah, the fans are like all ready to get into it. And they hear that. What the fuck is this shit playing? Crush him. Crush what?
Ugh.
Did he spell crush with a K?
No. Oh my god. I think that
would
be racist.
Why?
See a little KKK action? Crush.
Crush.
Crush it.
I didn't mean it that way. Just because I said African women should have their vaginas plugged doesn't mean I'm racist.
He said that?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, like
yeah, like
put a plug in it.
Put a plug in their vaginas and stop having babies. He said vagina, right?
So yeah, like
he actually said
yeah.
Put a plug in their vaginas.
Yeah, just because you know they keep getting given babies because they get raped, so it's like their own fault.
Terrible.
I didn't say that. Well, kind of.
Dave.
I like how he makes a big deal of it. Like, do the kids know that Gary Glitter molested anybody, though?
Yeah, like, that's...
they're just like, ah!
Like, can you imagine people, like, sitting at a sporting event and his song comes on, like, no! No, I will not! I do not approve of this. This man is a molester. And is he a molester? Didn't he just get caught with child porn, or was he caught molesting Gary Glitter?
No, I think he... Oh, man, I don't want to speak without knowing the thing.
Let's look it up.
I thought he was, like, trying to get with some kids.
Oh, it was like a sting operation.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe I'm wrong. If that's the case, they wouldn't play Michael Jackson anywhere.
Yeah, true. But Michael had more money than Gary Glitter to clean up his image, I feel. I mean, at the end, he kind of, you know, it went south, but for a while, people overlooked that.
Okay, so he was found with child pornography in 99, and then in 2006, in Vietnam, a court found him guilty of committing obscene acts with minors.
So he couldn't stop. Like, he got caught with the child porn, and then it was like, that's his wake-up call. And then, 7 years passed. He said, I'm going to go to Vietnam. Fuck this. Oh, my God.
And then in October 2012, Glitter was arrested as part of Operation U-Tree, an extensive police investigation into alleged sexual abuse dating back to the 50s. Jesus.
What did he do, though, that he... Let's see. What did they do? Can I ask a question? How is he still walking around after this? Like, what if he's... All right, they caught him with the child porn. Okay, get therapy, whatever. The second time, I mean, it's pretty clear he's just going to do what he wants to do, right?
Yeah. Just, Yeah, first it was just downloading child porn. Then having sex with an underage girl.
By the way, in case you don't know who we're talking about, he's the guy that wrote this song here. That they play at arenas all the time.
This is what Crush 'Em is going to replace.
This song sucks.
This doesn't sound like Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. Crush 'Em does. So good.
Wow. He lived in Cambodia until 2002, when he was permanently deported due to suspected child abuse.
Jesus. Do you have enough clues yet? Fucking cops.
Wow.
This guy.
Charged with molesting two underage girls in Vietnam.
Wait. Hold on. Charged with molesting 200 underage girls?
No, two underage.
Two
underage girls.
Sorry. I really thought...
If he had his way, it would be 200.
I was going to say, as evil as that is, that would be impressive. That he could molest 200 girls.
Prolific child molester.
Yeah.
This guy sucks.
Both go to bed and everything.
Wow, unbelievable. He keeps getting deported.
So, where is he now?
Vietnam.
What's he doing now?
Vietnam, they don't seem to mind. I don't know, where is he really? Prison.
In October, story developed, and he... Oh, I see, he got arrested in 2012 for something that happened years ago.
By the way, that caller earlier that cursed you out, he's very happy that he was molesting girls.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it was boys, that would be wrong.
Yeah.
As long as it's girls. Okay.
They were asking for
hey!
It, right?
Take down your pants. Hey! Get on your knees.
Oh. All right, let's take a music break.
All right, on that light note.
Yeah.
We'll have Gary Glitter take us into the music break.
Okay. All right, let's start with the Tasmanians. Here's a little Psychroptic.
9 out of 10 baby rapists agree. The Metal Injection live cast is pretty funny. Keep listening.
Lucifer.
You are listening to the Metal Injection Livecast, brought to you by Outlaw Gentlemen and Shady Ladies, the new album from Danish metal band Volbeat, produced by former Anthrax member Rob Caggiano, featuring the new single The Hangman's Body Count, available to pre-order on iTunes now.
This is Chuck Blandington, reminding you, it is not going to be all right. It is not going to be okay. It is not going to be all right. It is not going to be okay. But at least you can listen to the Metal Injection live cast at metalinjection.net. This is your announcer, Chuck Blandington. I've got something to say. I raped your mother today, and it doesn't matter much to me, as long as she is dead. But I'll tell you what does matter to me. It's time to return to the Metal Injection live cast. Here it is.
Welcome back to the live cast.
Welcome back to the pro Gary Glitter playing hockey arenas campaign show. We're here to campaign for anything that Dave Mustaine doesn't like. We're in favor of it.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Hey, that's the theme of this podcast today.
Let's talk about the music you just heard.
Yeah.
To the tune of Gary Glitter.
Go ahead, please.
We closed it out with Nails, Wide Open Wound. Their new album, Abandon All Life, I believe it's called, is phenomenal. Definitely pick it up. Before that was Volbeat featuring King Diamond, Room 24, off of their new album, what is it, Darren? Gentlemen Outlaws and Shady Ladies?
Outlaw Gentlemen and Shady Ladies.
That's it.
Jesus.
And they did not pay us to play the song. I chose to play the song.
You like the song.
Yeah.
He chose that playlist about 4.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, it just so happened.
And then we sold
the ad read. Before that was Ghost BC with Year Zero off of their new album Infestasium coming out in 2 weeks.
Hey!
I'm very much looking forward to that. And we kicked it off with Psychroptic. Hey! Euphoria. That's the music break for you. We're back on the show. We're going to get a call from Sydney momentarily.
Uh-huh.
And Sydney is in Austin, Texas, or maybe right outside of Austin, with his lovely wife, Amy, visiting her family.
Right.
Are they listening to Gary Glitter?
Hopefully.
We'll find out.
Maybe they're at a hockey game listening to Gary Glitter.
Oh, this could be a thing.
This makes me so mad.
What? I was going to say, is there a hockey story?
There's one in Dallas.
No, I mean like, oh, the season is going because it got delayed because of the strike or whatever, right?
No, it would have been around this time also.
Okay.
It's like they just deleted the beginning part of it and it's ending the same time.
Okay. By the way, Jake from Periphery is no longer in the studio. He had to step out for some important business-related matters.
Smoke some hash.
Oh, man, he's got hash?
All right. We got a call. I think this is Sid. Okay. Sydney, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Sid, you love sports. I wanted to ask you this because I know you weren't listening earlier, but
how do you know I wasn't listening earlier?
Well, you're busy. You're with your wife. You're on vacation. Why would you?
No, I've been listening the whole time. I've been in the chat room.
Oh, excuse me. All right, take it back. What do you think about Dave Mustaine being upset that they play the Hey song? Do you think child molesters should have their songs played at hockey games?
Probably not. It strikes me as odd that they keep playing that song. Just like I thought it was odd that they played that Soulja Boy song about jerking off on a girl's back at all the sporting events.
Yeah, that's weird. To me, that's more weird because that's like the actual song itself that they're playing is weird.
Yeah.
Matter. Like, no one knows who Gary Glitter is at this point. I feel like it's just woven into the fabric of the culture, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we know.
Uh-huh.
So when we go, we're allowed to feel weird about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Sid, where
are you? It's the sound, huh?
Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from the guest bedroom of my mother-in-law's house.
In Austin? Are you in Austin?
No, it's like a suburb of San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
I flew into Austin.
I see.
Did any of your in-laws say anything racist like the last time?
No, that's only my wife's grandmother, and I will not be going on that visit this time. I will be back with my mother-in-law watching a Spurs game on TV while my wife goes by herself to visit grandma.
Oh, so it's because of the Spurs game. I thought it was because you didn't want it because, like, she gives you agita.
Well, all of the above.
All right. Amy, it's bring the Jew this time.
Yeah.
Last time,
I don't think it was that she wasn't so
right.
much the racist when she just told stories of her relatives who think that Jews are to blame for all the world's problems and they killed Jesus. She sort of wanted to get my response. Like, is that true? Did you? She was unbiased. She had no opinion yet. She wanted to get all the facts.
She was like Anderson Cooper. She just said,
yeah.
How do you respond to these allegations that you killed?
Yeah,
people?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I find it so adorable that you and Amy's mom watch Spurs games together. Do you guys talk shop? Do you guys talk football?
Yeah, definitely.
How
does she feel about that guy breaking his leg?
She thought that was pretty gross.
Is there anyone?
She didn't see the picture.
It?
Like Rob sent me the picture, which is even worse than the
What's
video.
What's she gonna say? Oh, it was great. I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to know, like, what was her reaction to it like?
Very saddened and disturbed.
Sid, have you engineered any trades with your mother-in-law? Yeah, in fantasy.
No, not yet. She's not in the league. She would only draft Spurs anyway. It wouldn't be fun.
Okay.
She can't win like that.
I have one guy on my baseball team that he actually runs the league. He just drafted like 7 Yankees. Just like,
yeah,
really?
This is not the year to do that.
I mean, any year it's bad, but this year, two of them are on the DL. Like,
yeah.
Thinking
at least
it.
Two. No, three of them are.
Well, three of the guys he has, I mean.
Okay. Yeah. Can I just say that I had a very happy moment earlier during the podcast because I signed in to the chat, but not under my usual username. Uh-huh. I wanted to see if Darren would quote one of my comments without knowing it was me.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Which
and
one?
And it made me very happy. Well, I'm in the chat. I'll give away. I'm Drazen Petrovich Destroyer. But when you use the thing about Rob jizzing to recordings of his serious show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wanted to see if I could get something on just on the merit of the joke without any preconceived.
I was like, who is this Drazen Petrovich Destroyer? He's pretty witty.
Yeah,
he's
a damn right.
So, Robbie, now you're disappointed in our audience that the best member was Sid.
Sorry.
It's all revealed.
There's been other
I knew it was you, Sid,
week.
Because only Rob's close friends know about that. So I knew it was.
Oh, thank you, Noah.
So you said you saw Joey Kramer on your plane over? Is that?
Yeah, he was front of the line for first class. Him and his wife, who looks slightly less feminine than he does.
I saw.
But that's not an insult to her. That's an insult to him.
Chuck Blandington tweeted: either Joey Kramer is on my flight to Austin, or this old woman has a soul touch.
I was hoping that he would like respond or something, or come up and down the aisles looking for who the punk was that said that about him. When I got on the plane, he was already seated. He was looking on his phone, so I'm like, that motherfucker saw what I said. But he never responded, which is very disappointing.
Oh, if anyone born after 1982, Joey Kramer is a drummer for Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And we're talking about that Joey Kramer, right?
Yes, yes.
Just checking.
He was wearing shoes that looked like he killed a gay alligator to get them. He wanted everyone to know he was in a band. It was very sad.
Well, you know, when you get to a certain... First of all, he probably lived his whole life no one knowing who he was, even at the peak of their popularity.
Yeah. I think I saw he was on, like, That Metal Show or something, and he was kind of like, oh, the true fans know Joey Kramer. And it's like, oh, you're so...
Did he refer to himself as Joey Kramer?
I'm like, paraphrasing.
He probably
but,
did, though.
Yeah.
Very sad.
The true
Very sad old man.
Yeah.
Was hair really teased up high?
Yeah, it was all, blonde and spiked as much as it could be for somebody at that age.
How did
Was
he acting in any douchey way?
Well, no. When, by the time he only showed up, like maybe 10 minutes before boarding, and he was just obviously at the front of the line with his wife and somebody from the airline. But he was like pretty chill. It seemed he wasn't being a dick or anything.
Was he?
Or seeing, not that I saw.
Was he sitting in first class?
Huh? Yeah. But I mean, it's a crappy American Airlines flight, so.
Yeah.
First class, like all that meant was there was a curtain. I was like 20 feet away from him the whole time.
You don't have to smell Sid's farts. We actually do, because it's a curtain only.
Yeah, it's just a curtain.
Yeah. Well, he spends his entire working life smelling Steven Tyler's farts. So I mean, he's right behind him the whole time, so
his
that's bad enough.
Farts.
Let him have a break from that.
Did you get any barbecue or anything interesting in Austin or San Antonio?
Not yet. There's going to be tomorrow there will be breakfast tacos. Last night we went to some, like, Mexican place, but not like super duper authentic Mexican, but it was all right. It was still better than typical New York Mexican, but during the week there will be barbecue and there will be more Mexican food and all that good stuff. I'm very excited. Today I went to Sonic for lunch. That was fun.
Ooh.
There's no Sonics in Brooklyn or our area.
What did you get from Sonic?
I got a Chicago dog and a blue coconut slush because I didn't know what the fuck that would be. Because why, if it's coconut, why is it blue? Is the blue a flavor? Or what? I had it, and
it's
I still
fungus.
Don't know what it was.
It's the fungus.
Is it like blue raspberry and coconut?
It didn't taste like either. I don't know what the hell it was. It was not very good.
Mm.
The mystery is still unsolved as to what a blue coconut slush actually means.
Did they bring the food to you on like roller skates with like a
yes,
tray?
Yes, they did. Yes.
Wow.
Which is very weird. I was hoping somebody would trip and fall, but it didn't happen.
Have you tripped anyone yet on your trip?
No, I have not. I have not had the opportunity.
But
something I'm known for? Tripping people on my trips?
I'm just curious if the opportunity presented itself. Would you take it?
Sure. Why wouldn't I?
You're a terrible person.
I'm farting a lot. I hope you guys know that.
I heard it.
We can smell it all over here.
I'm glad that it's not something that's only reserved for us when you're
here. No, it's just Sunday nights bring it out of me, even when I'm not there. It's like a phantom limb. It's like I lost my arm, but I still feel it there. I still feel you guys around me, so I have to fart.
Well,
or maybe it's the terrible food I had for lunch. Who knows?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Sid. Is there any
thank you for having me.
Final
Wait,
words?
Sid, who's taking care of your cats while you guys are away?
My wife has a friend in the neighborhood who is coming by to feed them and whatnot. So they're good. Cats are good.
Mm-hmm. So they're just alone in the house?
Yeah, now, they're hanging out.
Now, if you told my mother that, my mom's instinctual response would be like, did you hide all of your valuables?
Yeah, I was going to ask, how much do you trust this person
like,
in your house?
I thought you meant the we're going to steal the fucking earrings.
My mom thinks everybody is a thief. Uh-huh. And
I have that same innate Russian lack of trust, but I try to tamp it down, and it's my wife's friend. She vouches for her, so all right, fine. But yeah, I'm still also paranoid that our TV's going to be gone when we get home.
I was going to say, like, what, like, my mom would always say that when I would be getting a new roommate who I would usually find on Craigslist. And I'm like, oh, you're just going to leave them alone in the house. You don't have a lock on your door. And I'm like, what are they going to steal? I know where they live.
And did she say that when you and I lived together?
No, because we knew each other, but she just meant like living with a complete stranger, and it's just like, what are they going to do, steal my computer? I'll see that they have a new computer in their room that is my computer.
What if they take your stuff and leave?
I said, don't trust Sid. You don't know where he's at.
Well, we didn't know each other that well yet. I understand that.
Okay, now I wouldn't say it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right,
guys, have fun with your WrestleManias.
Yeah, hopefully your belongings are still intact when you get home, Sid.
Well, now everybody knows I'm out, so even if it's not my wife's friend, somebody's going to bust in and take my shit.
There you
Thanks
go.
A lot.
Sid lives at 42 Evergreen Terrace. Good
That's
night,
right.
Sydney.
We're going to have to edit that out.
Nope.
Yeah,
there's already too much editing to do from the beginning of the show.
How many people in the audience you think now are going to go to that address and just stalk it, try to find it?
Is there an Evergreen Terrace in Brooklyn?
I don't know. I just thought it would be funny if someone was actually Googling that. Let's find out. Now
I'm sure many people have Googled that.
No, I'm just saying, like, for whatever, you know.
Oh.
If someone didn't get
that,
were you kidding?
Or that they don't watch The Simpsons.
Right.
So I want to ask you guys, does it make me a terrible person that when I go out to eat in this neighborhood, which is a predominantly hip, quote unquote, neighborhood? And, you know, like when I go out to eat, the people, I don't know, I think it's probably on me. Like I'll have a conversation with them, you know, before the food comes. But once the food is there, my eye is on the prize. I'm concerned about eating. And I just end up listening in on the people next to me's conversations, because,
right.
You know, space is very tight.
So what happened
in this neighbor? Always the most pretentious people.
Yes.
And I hate all of them. Yeah. I hate that I, like, end up rolling my eyes to the person I'm having a meal with, like, the entire time.
And then it kind of ruins your meal a little bit.
I guess it kind of ruins my meal, but at the same time, it's the entertainment for my meal, because at least it's something to keep me occupied. Like, oh, the worst thing was this conversation at brunch, which sounds so pretentious. So I was at brunch, and
all these hipsters were at brunch with me.
Well, funny enough, that was the conversation. The people next to me were bitching about how, we have to go down to the water because it's a great view, and you could just do so much hipster watching. Oh my God! Don't tell my parents, but all I do around this neighborhood is I take photos of hipsters. And it's so fun, and I'm such a terrible person, but it's hilarious. Like, look at this guy, and it's just a regular guy with, like, a scarf. Can you believe this scarf? Oh, my God, what a hipster. And it's like, do you have zero self-awareness?
Does she have a big nerd glasses on?
She totally was a
flannel and Oxford shoes.
I mean, hipster, I feel, is like an undefinable term. It's just like a negative, like, anything you can throw it at anybody, just who is not
you know, like who's eccentric.
I think I think it's a definable term, but it's just people use it wrong because they're not self-aware, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, because a hipster to me is just somebody that has very shallow tastes.
Yeah.
And likes things for weird reasons, like they like things that are unpopular. And they dislike
ironic.
Things that
they
are
like
popular.
Things ironically. They don't sincerely like them.
Right. Insincere is the key to it. Like they have no sincere beliefs in anything.
Yeah. And yeah, like it would be like something like that I get. Or another time it was like a well-off guy on a brunch date with.
Well-off in what way? Like money?
Like financially.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know how hungry. I didn't ask him to.
I thought maybe you're looking under the table. I don't know.
No. And he was out with a woman who, like, was between jobs. And he was, like, I feel like the whole point of the meal, I always like to come up with a little backstory here. Because I have a lot of time while I'm eating my food. And the whole story
how
here
much do you eat?
Is, oh, well, that's a story for a whole different podcast.
Okay.
But the whole time, like, he was, like, giving her advice on, like, what to do with her career. And she's turning every, like, yeah, you know, I would go to this school, but they make you read all these books. And it's like, I know all of this stuff. I don't have to read these books. Like, I know it. Can't I just, like, tell them that I know? And it's like, bitch, if you knew, you would have a job.
Give me a degree. I know
it. Oh, Rob, you've got it all wrong. She just wants to use that guy for his money.
Well, then the bill came, and she's, like, about to, like, falsely reaching into her purse or whatever. And the guy's like, oh, don't worry, I got this. She's like, what? Are you sure? Are you sure? Being the most passive way to be like, obviously.
Yeah.
And then so obviously he's going, yeah, I'm sure. And she's like, you always do this. And it's
I'm
just
so angry at you for doing
God.
What I want you to do.
You're just playing into me.
You fell into my trap.
Yeah. Oh my God. And then play. Are you serious? Oh my. I don't know. You're just too kind to me. And I feel so bad for this guy because clearly he wants to get laid, but it's like it's not worth it.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I set that right up with Jennifer in the beginning, man. We just take turns, rotate.
Yeah, I feel like that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of girls don't want to do that. A lot of girls want you to pay for them all the fucking time.
No.
In my past history.
It's just back and forth.
Yeah.
One time you, one time me.
Well, the thing is, like, you both have a fair amount of money enough to go out all the time and treat, right? But, you know, so do we. But, like, other people, you know, like, sometimes in my past history, I've been with girls where the girl had way more money and I was still expected to pay for it. You know, I think that's scummy.
I don't believe in that.
Yeah, that's definitely messed up.
You know, maybe on a first date, you know, could be fine, but no.
But once if you're in like a relationship with the person, and they make more than
he don't take me nowhere. What the fuck is that?
Ugh.
Fuck you.
Noah, do you get pretentious conversations next to you?
Actually, I went to brunch this afternoon, and there were these two girls sitting next to our table. And they had the most, like, obnoxious conversations. They were talking about all their other friends. And then one girl goes, oh, you know, it was just about fucking. It was just fucking. And then the other girl goes, you did the right thing. It's fine. You did the right thing. And, like, it was just, I don't know. I never talk like that to my friends, just their mannerisms and stuff. It was just so uncomfortable.
I was on the train. I heard this girl talking about she works at Sirius and she got like a certificate or something. She's such a hipster. My God.
Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
I haven't really taken a subway with any friends in a long time, so there's no way that you heard me talking on the train.
Oh, so
it
was Chris Russo. Sorry.
if you didn't want to reveal it.
I changed it to a woman, just, you know.
He's got hips like a woman.
Does he? His hip? What? Really? I never really looked at his hips.
Okay. He wears his pants so high up. And
this
like,
is great. Chris Russo dirt. I love it.
And he, like, tucks his polo shirt in, and he's got that belt, and, like, he puts his wallet in his back pocket, so, like, his ass protrudes even more than it normally would. And it's just, like, the way that the belt is, like, cinched around his waist, it just makes him look like he has... Women's hips.
I got childbearing hips, okay?
How about that?
So, I mean, but, like, I saw him stalking off when we were at Sirius one time. He was just walking past the glass. Well, you know, it's a glass studio. You could see all the hallway
and he
everything.
Walked very fast.
He was just, like, stomping. Like, he looked like a stormtrooper, but he's, like, wearing sweat. He's walking around with sweatpants on.
Oh, if you're wearing sweatpants?
Yeah. Well, it was Sunday. I don't even know why the fuck he was there in the first place. But
during the week, he wears his jeans high up.
It's fucking disheveled, like, scummy looking. Like, you would never thought he was a host there. Like, he just looked like some fucking bum that walked in.
He just looks like some pervy Italian guy from Long Island.
I feel that's a lot of people at Sirius. Like,
yeah.
They look like total bums.
Because they're on the radio. Who gives a shit?
I mean, I don't definitely have.
It's still a workplace.
I have definitely showed up in
Rob with assless chaps.
Like,
his SpongeBob SquarePants pajamas.
Like, sometimes if I'm coming in like really late, I will just not give a crowd. Like, I'm just like, I would not show up like to an office job like this. And I just don't care. But there's no one there when I'm in. I do the nighttime show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Usually there's no one around when I'm doing my show, but I guess sometimes they have events. Mm-hmm. And during this week, like New Kids on the Block, were in studio.
Yeah.
And it was a big talking point around the office. And as I was leaving, the main studio is like adjacent to the elevators, and I saw like there's this big hubbub, and I go take a look, and it's New Kids on the Block doing photos with. Like, sometimes they invite listeners up to be, like, the audience for, like, a live performance. And, like, when I assume who would be in line for a New Kids on the Block photo op, completely off from the actual, like, for some reason I assume it's
40-year-old gay guys.
It's still teenagers, but it was 40-year-old
women
and men. Yeah. Lots of men. Men were, like, totally lined up.
Well, why is that so weird? If you were like gay in the 80s, you would have a crush on them, and if you were a woman, you would have a crush on them.
People weren't allowed to be gay in the 80s.
They were allowed to get married. They were allowed to be gay.
That's when gay started. In the 80s. Paul and Madonna.
But yeah. So was it like? What were they? You know, were they carrying on and stuff?
No, it was very formal, like step in, take a photo, shake some hands, get out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is absurd. I can't believe I work in this in this building. Like, this is going on.
Where all of the new kids are.
Well,
they don't even ask to meet me.
Yeah, like, first
Rob
of all,
Pazboni.
How dare they not acknowledge that Rob Pazboni of Metal Injection and SiriusXM Liquid Metal is a mere feet away from them.
And Noah, the girlfriend of Jake from Periphery, is there, too. They don't even say anything.
So rude.
How dare they?
Were you a fan of New Kid on the Block, Noah?
No, I just had a New Kid on the Block umbrella, but it was NKOB on it. That was a hand-me-down from my cousin, and I never understood what the letters were for until finally I realized it was New Kid on the Block, and then I never used that umbrella again.
So you were like Nina walking around with a Slipknot backpack, but you had New Kids on the Block.
On the umbrella, yeah.
Uh-huh. What music did you listen to at that time? Tattoo?
No, I was into, like, AC/DC, stuff like
really?
That.
Really? You were metal that early?
Yeah.
Well, rock, you know.
Rock. I liked rock.
You like K-rock kind of music?
Yeah, I used to listen to K-rock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you like any boy bands ever when you were, like, too young to know better or whatever?
I think I liked Boys to Men for a hot minute.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You like the black guys, huh? I never knew you were into that.
I like their music.
Mm-hmm. No, I meant who you had a crush on. Who was your celebrity crush?
I never liked any boy bands. Mm-hmm. I was infatuated with Axl Rose.
Oh, well, we know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what was the non-band singers you had a crush on? Or what, not singers, celebrities, I should say.
I don't know.
None? Not one.
No, just Axl Rose as a teenager. That's the only person that tickled your loins.
Neil Rosen from New York One. Did you have a crush on him?
No.
Okay.
I
did I mention that about Neil Rosen?
No, what?
Neil Rosen.
Do you have a crush on him?
No, he has a crush on my girlfriend.
What?
Wait, who is Neil Rosen?
He's
New York One.
He's the critic. He's the New York
One
reporter. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this, actually.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I should shut the fuck up.
Is he a guy
up.
With the bushy eyebrows?
No, that's George Whipple. I don't know, maybe he does
crazy,
too.
Like, I don't understand. You work in TV and you can't trim your eyebrows.
It's like a thing. It's like
know,
a,
how I always forget things, so I can't remember. I don't think there's any problem, but I can't remember if I'm allowed to talk about that or not. I'll stop there. I'll ask her, and then if I can, I'll say it on the air another time.
Or we'll just ask her later when we see her.
Oh, I'm sure when we talk about it, it's okay. But, yeah. I mean, on the air, I don't know. So I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry.
You're just teasing
to the
everyone
audience.
That's listening.
Yeah. Anyway.
Have I talked about interning in New York one? I interned there in high school.
Really? Yeah. Did you meet George Whipple?
No, I never met George Whipple. I worked in the newsroom.
Did you meet the old black dude that mumbles, the anchor?
Yes, yeah. I met that guy.
Does he talk like that off the air, too?
He has a very, yeah, like that's just his.
There's this guy that, oh,
here's what's happening in your
today in Brooklyn.
It was the most boring internship.
What did you have to do? Like, what was the day?
Okay, so I only interned once a week. I would go in Friday afternoons, I want to say.
When was this, by the way? In high school?
This was freshman year of college, so the year that we stopped talking to each other. Because you were still in high school. Because you were a senior in high school when I was a freshman in college.
Okay.
So a friend of mine got it for me. And looking back, I was actually pretty unprofessional on the,
really?
On the gig, just because I didn't try, or I just showed up and did what they told me. I was like,
well, that's uncommon, Rob.
Did you light up a blunt on the New York One set?
No, I think this was before.
New York One is a news channel, by the way.
It's like a local
24-hour news TV station.
Yeah, actually, what I realized while I was in the Austin airport coming back from South by Southwest is that there's a New York One in every market. It's
really?
Like a different. It's called
Chicago
like
One?
Time, like Time Warner News or something like that, because it's just New York One is owned by Time Warner.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's like the same graphics, the same like sounds. It was mind blowing.
Did they expand? Because was that always the case, or was it New York?
I don't know. But I know it's definitely like that now. But so yeah, I used to intern there, and I would just show up. I worked for like the news editor, and basically what it would be is just typical like making the most exciting part of my day was using this super advanced collating and copy machine and marveling at like, wow, this is a 50-page document that it's making copies of and collating. Like,
you'd copy your buttocks and collate it?
It was just so boring. Or entering in copy for the news into like this DOS system. Like it wasn't there wasn't even like a Windows GUI.
What year was this?
This was 2000? 2000.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, were you there during 9/11?
And
that
it was just
pretty hectic.
No, it was right before 9/11. And it was just so boring. Wow. It was the worst job. But it was kind of cool being in the TV world.
Did they let you go on the set?
It was like right there. It wasn't like...
No, I know, but you were you allowed to like sit at the desk?
Rob,
no.
Did a pretend newscast.
I never...
Hello, this is Rob Pesvani.
No one ever gave me a tour. It was very much like
bullshit.
I just showed up and they were like, here, do something. Yeah, it was like there was nothing gained. The most exciting thing that I ever did was they made me a gopher and like I had to go to MTV to pick up something. So I got in a cab to go to Times Square. And I went to the MTV offices, and I was like, wow, these are great offices.
Did they reimburse you for the cab ride?
Yeah, and they reimbursed me, and I lied about how much I tipped the guy.
Wow.
So I made $5, and I was like, oh, my God, I win at life.
What a shyster.
Total Jew move.
Shylock.
Mega Jew move. And I don't know if I've said this before on the show, but I constantly have to battle with my inner Jewness, with my inner cheapness. It's a struggle because I feel like I've reached a point in my life where I don't have to be cheap, where I could like let it go. Like, oh, it's a dollar. You know, I have a job. But still, there's that innate Jew gene in me where I'm like, I'm not going to let this person get away. Or like I'll wrestle with myself over how big of a tip I'm leaving. It's like, do I really, like, I just blew, like, you know, $150 on dinner. Am I really like concerned about this extra $2 that I would leave this guy as a tip? It's like when I take a step back, I'm like, what's wrong with me? Just leave the guy the $2. Yeah, I'm Jewish. It's in my blood.
I always over tip. I feel like I don't want to be seen as, not leaving a good tip.
Yeah, I do. I traditionally, I'm like a 20% tipper.
Yeah.
I'll just double the, you know, the first number.
I just always feel like I have to, like, make up for all the assholes that don't tip anything.
It's not on you.
I know. I just feel bad because, you know, that's a shitty job to begin with.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And even when, like, when I get bad service, I'll tip less, but I feel like I'm still giving them a good tip. Yeah. I won't, like, leave a crappy tip. It's very rare.
Yeah, they don't tip anywhere but, like, here in North America. You know?
In America, yeah.
It's true. They get paid a living wage, and then you don't have to tip anybody.
Yeah, there's no tips in like, Europe.
Yeah.
That's why service sucks.
No, it's not true.
Jake, is it true?
Depends on the country. But, yeah, generally, you don't tip anywhere else.
Well, people tip here and the service sucks, so it's not working.
Yeah. Well, like you could tip if it's like exceptional service, but it's not like required.
Yeah, it's not customary to tip like that. But I know when people from other countries see Americans coming in their restaurant, they get so stoked because they know.
Yeah,
they
don't understand the culture and they're going to tip.
Frank told me a story once, and I'm going to retell it here because he's not here. But that he was hanging out with Soil Work after a show. And the guitarist was like, I don't understand America. You go to a restaurant, you look at menu, it's one price. You get the check, it's another price. And then you still have to leave more.
Yeah.
There's a third price that you leave. Why don't you just tell me how much I should pay?
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's very true. Like, why is the tax not already added? Well, it's marketing, I understand. Like, they want you to make it seem like it's cheaper than it is because they're not profiting off the tax.
Right.
But it's
you
lame.
Answered your question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you.
It's lame.
Some of them put the tip in the amount though on the check. Like you don't have
usually
to
Asian restaurants
out.
Do that.
But it's usually if you're in a large party, if you're like
well,
a party of six.
It's places where you go that people don't tip well usually.
Mm.
It's like they're forcing you to do it.
That's true.
my pockets are hurting just
all this tip talk.
Oh, just you. God.
646-929-1357. You know who doesn't get tipped well?
Who?
Merch guys, right, Jake? They make nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. It really does. One time I saw $250-something in a tip jar once from a night, and then most nights it's not a damn thing. So
yeah. People don't know. Maybe you're supposed to
wow.
emphasize that.
Depends on how funny the merch guy is, really, you know. Like,
he has to make an effort?
Yeah, oh yeah, there's a whole game behind it. It's cool to watch.
How does someone get into merch guying or like tour like being a roadie?
It's a really, really good question, and it usually always begins with knowing somebody who's on tour and you just needing a gig or something to do. And
like you don't necessarily need any experience, it's just like you have to be available.
Not at all.
You have to be able to count.
Well, yeah.
Well, to be the tour manager, but that's you got to work your way up.
Are you saying like roadie?
Roadie, no, just like to get on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I was a roadie for many years, and I did not know a damn thing when I first started. So it was, you know, you had to learn everything. Everything was a new, like, learning experience every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's true of, honestly, like, the music industry in general, or specifically the metal industry, if you want to work in metal. You just have to show up, and if, like, you're reliable...
You'll
get work.
That's probably the most important aspect of this music scene or metal or whatever it is, just being there on time and just accepting the opportunities by being in the place you're supposed to be in. So
yeah, and then like you know you work and you go on the road with one band while they're touring with another band, and then the guy in the roadie in the other band can't do the next tour, so they need a guy, and they remember, oh, this guy was cool and reliable and.
Exactly.
I'll call him.
Well, not with our crew. Like, we have this one guy, and he, like, I actually threaten the other band's crews.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you steal my guy, I'll come after you. You know, like, we have to have this guy.
Have you signed, like, an exclusive contract?
No, but that's a really good idea. I'm going to make him do that. Yeah.
You get first dibs?
That's right, yeah. He has to ask me if he wants to go out on tour with anybody
else. Is it hard? Do you have techs on the road with you? Are you guys at that
just
level?
One main guy, but we haven't really brought... We do everything ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you guys, when you guys toured with the Deftones, was there a crew that set up your equipment, or was that you guys doing it?
We did it. We don't, you know, we like to save lots of money, so we just do everything.
Makes
ourselves.
Sense.
Yeah.
And I guess you're the opening band, so you could do all that before...
Yeah, there was no. It was so chill that it was literally just pushing something in right. position. It wasn't there wasn't any carrying or anything.
Was this an arena tour or was it like a
It was a bigger club theater tour.
Theater. Okay.
I think they call it an undersell or something like that, where they like put like a decent sized band in clubs and theaters because they'll sell out.
Got it.
As opposed to they'll be able to put people in arena, but it won't look as
right. It won't fill up, and then it'll look bad the next time they want to go.
Yeah.
Interesting. So much biz talk here.
Oh, sorry about that. You want me to bring that back a little bit?
I'm sure. No, I'm sure people are. This is the stuff that doesn't get talked about on the internet.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You have to figure it out yourself. That's part of the
of the game
and the allure.
Well, I feel like that's kind of how you get screwed over in the music business. It's like no one really tells you how it is.
Yeah, you have
to. So you don't really know what it is. So, like, someone can lie to you, and you're like, oh, wow, I'm getting paid very well. And then you meet another band, and they're like, oh, we got paid, like, three times that. So
it's an unspoken thing, but there's a lot of trying to be smarter than the other guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that in this business.
I feel like coming up with a quote is always the hardest thing, because you never know, like, how much is too much to say before like they like that's ridiculous. I'm not gonna pay that. But I think it's always better to go above.
Oh yeah, you always go as high, like you go crazy high, and then it works down to the amount, like, that everybody's actually cool with.
My philosophy on that is like come up with a number that you want, and then add like 15% to it, and then tell them that so that you can work your way down to the number that you have.
Yeah.
And more often than not, you will get more than the number you settled on.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And it's always amazing how much biz talk.
Verbal poker.
Verbal poker. Yeah. It's a good terminology. All right, we have a phone number, 646-929-1357. Ask us business questions. I don't know.
Ask us to do your taxes.
Yeah.
We'll do them live.
I thankfully got them done in February. So excited about that.
I haven't done mine yet. I keep forgetting.
Well, I mean, you know.
What?
I, like, Metal Injection is, you know, my business. So I have to do business taxes. So I feel like
You have to do them quarterly?
People keep telling me I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
But we just do it yearly and, like.
Oh, my gosh.
You're supposed to pay quarterly estimates.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is also, for me, part of, like, for Frank is fucked. But
why is he fucked?
Well, I have the Sirius gig, so I feel like that covers my taxes for the quarter. Like, I still pay taxes.
Yeah, but you pay taxes on just the Sirius income.
Yeah, you still pay taxes on the Metal Injection. Or do you make Frank pay all of it?
Well, the way, I don't know. All I know is that I have a Orthodox Jew accountant, and we go to him, we give him our receipts, we give him our taxes, and he comes back and he's like, this is how much you pay. And we're like, that's it? And then he's like, yes. And then we go.
Meanwhile, the FBI has a warrant out for your arrest.
Well, wait.
Or the IRS, whatever.
He hasn't called you with any crazy questions about your spending, right?
No, he actually gives us, like, advice on, like.
There you go. Then you're doing
it.
Yeah,
so I feel like somehow he makes it work. And plus, the IRS wouldn't arrest me or anything because when I file my taxes, he's listed as the preparer. So, like, I could just be like,
they're just going to arrest him.
Yeah, like, and he has been doing this for 40 years. And
that makes sense.
So he's
and,
done.
Yeah.
No, and also, but he knows what he's doing. And, like, I feel like the shadiest people come to him to do their taxes because he's the Jewish. First of all, I don't go to an office. I go to his house in Midwood, to his basement, which he converted into an office space. And all of his workers are his children.
So did you find his number on the back of the village?
How did I find him? I'll tell you how I find him. My uncle went to him to do his taxes, and it was a family referral. And this guy is so busy with, like, basically all of South Brooklyn goes to this guy to do his taxes.
Rob, you're supposed to do quarterly, but don't worry about it. I take care of you.
Yeah. He never even mentioned that to us, and I think I might have asked him about it. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. Because he transfers it all somehow.
Is this display in the waiting room?
This is the waiting
room. This is his kids, Wally.
Oh, my God. It's so kitschy. His, like, if I wanted it tomorrow, I'd ask for it tomorrow. He'd have, like, motivational posters like that.
My goodness.
Like,
I keep photos of my children in my wallet because that's where my money used to be. That's
oh, all. My God.
Do the kids dance around in traditional garb and while they do the taxes?
Well, like, the kids are already, like, he's pushing 70 or something, so the kids are, like, already adults. They're older than me.
But they still have to perform Fiddler on the Roof.
But then they have...
One of them have to shine your shoes?
No, their kids are there. The younger kids, the he's a grandfather.
Grandkids.
The grandkids, yeah.
The grandkids shine the shoes.
Oh, and they're so annoying. And they have their titsas.
And kippies.
And their kippies. And they're like... It's like, Papa, Papa, ha, get out of here. No, the funniest thing is just like these shady Russian businessmen come to him and they're, like, they're coming to pick up their taxes. And the guy's like, okay, you have to pay like $12,000. No, take it, make it go away. Take it. I don't want to pay nothing. And they're like, well, we could work the numbers so you don't pay anything, but it's going to look a little weird. Like, they might go, oh, it's okay, have them call me. I don't care. I don't want to pay nothing. If they have a problem, they call me. We figure it out.
They're like, all right.
So I feel like if they're dealing with people like that, and I we always have to pay something. Like, obviously, we don't pay taxes all year on our...
You should try that. I don't want to pay nothing.
Yeah,
Well, they always ask. Like, the funny thing is, they always ask when we come in, like, how far do you want me to go with this?
Like,
how many laws should we break?
Like, the tone gets really, like it's like, you know, we're joking around, small talk, and they're like, all right, well, how far do you want me to go with this? I'm always like, as far as you can without alerting, without the IRS having to call.
How much jail time are you willing to do, Rob?
And you know, they always find it so noble when I'm like, well, if that's what I got. Like, they're like, okay, you have to pay this much. And I'm like, okay, well, okay. I guess that's what I have to pay. It's, you know.
Really?
Freedom is the freedom. They're like, wow, all right, great.
We're going to pay your taxes?
It's like, I don't understand. I mean, it sucks, definitely, like getting a giant chunk of your check taken away like that. But that's this country. That's what you sign up for.
Well, some of them don't.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Taxes.
That's what shit is.
Taxes.
No, I don't want to pay any taxes.
Take it all off. Have them deal with it. They'll call me. It's no problem.
These were like Russians? Like
Russians. And oh, my God. I think I've said this story on the show before, but like 2 years ago, there was this, I don't know, he wasn't Russian. He was like brown. He had to be either like a Sephardic Jew or like Egyptian or something. And he had this chalice with this green ooze, and the entire basement I can't describe.
What?
It was just like some soupy, like a soupy substance that he was eating. He had a chalice.
In the waiting room for your accountant?
Yes, with like a spoon, like a fancy spoon, and he was eating. And first of all, isn't that rude to do that?
Yes.
Like,
well, when you're eating out of a chalice, I don't think I care about being rude,
that's
really.
Yeah, and it's like he didn't even look like dressed up like rich. Like, he didn't have a gold suit on. He looked normal. He just had a soup chalice.
He had a Fila jumpsuit on.
Yeah. And it smelled so bad, and he just wouldn't leave.
I'm not paying in the taxes. Where's my chalice? I got to eat. I'm hungry.
Take it off.
Take off all the tax. I don't know how this works. Tax is stupid. I don't care. I'm keeping all my money.
Do you pay taxes, Darren?
On what? Actually, now the new job, the umpiring job that I have is going to be taxable. Like they take.
Right.
But don't withhold anything, so I have to, you know, do all that myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you going to file quarterly, or do you want me to give you my guy?
I'll use your guy. I want to take it all off. Take it off. I do pay taxes on gambling winnings, too.
Yeah.
But it's very nebulous. It's very, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too into it.
Do they send you a 1099? Or, like, how does that work?
I print it out off the internet.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's... Just, you know, it's boring.
Where do you guys file your taxes? You guys have accountants or?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jake, you have a business, so obviously you have to have an accountant.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's necessary, for sure.
Does the band file together?
Yeah, I mean, we have to all file individual returns, and then we have a business return.
Mm.
Yeah. And we have to pay those quarterly estimates and all that stuff.
Yeah. Everyone's paying. The only one not paying quarterly estimates, I'm going to get burnt by the IRS. But I definitely paid all in the end, though.
Yeah.
No. I got reamed.
I bet you like that.
Oh. I mean, are we still talking about our taxes now, or are we...
Oh, we're still talking about taxes. Oh, okay.
You're like the guy on the phone. Come on now. Calling him a faggot. That's not nice.
She didn't call me a faggot.
She said you like getting reamed. What do you think
well,
that means?
You don't have to be a faggot to like being reamed.
Okay, fine. You can, like, throw it a reams.
Isn't that getting fucked in the ass?
You
I thought
ream
that's...
a vagina?
Yeah,
well, he doesn't have a vagina. How can he get reamed other than the ass?
Maybe he likes...
Fair enough.
...to ream.
Well, that's not what you said. You
yeah.
said he likes to be reamed.
True.
You're a homophobe.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm a homophobe. Okay, Derek.
You like the guy on the phone. How dare you?
Not the truck.
Mario.
Yes, I'm a homophobe. Guy said it too now, though.
Perfect.
We're going to sing together like tradition.
Iron Sheik says, tax talk. How exciting.
Yeah, that was. I think we went too deep into the tax.
Yeah.
Tax.
Well, I liked hearing about Rob's.
Yeah, his account.
Shady account.
Yeah, it's always in his venture. And the whole family are accountants, even his wife. It's. I mean, I guess.
Orthodox Jewish women aren't supposed to have jobs.
Well, like she helps with the taxes.
Yeah, they're allowed to have jobs but not get paid.
Yeah. Oh.
That's where the line is drawn.
No, she's definitely an accountant. She does like the heavy lifting on our. On our.
Who is the one who helps with the tax? She does all of the accounting.
Oh,
the mama.
There was a great exchange. First of all, our accountant always remembers the name of our company, and he always says, "Oh, metal injection." I remember you, and then he was like, "All right, so what did you spend money on?" "Oh, who are we lying to? You spent it all on drugs."
Said, yep.
I was like, and then my instinctual response was, well, not all of it on drugs.
Yeah.
We had to buy some videotapes and hard drives.
They were made out of drugs, though.
I think that's because one year I showed up with really dank weed in my pocket.
Oh, my God.
I didn't realize it until I was in there, and I was like, okay.
Where do you think all the ideas for the money come from?
Yeah, creative supply.
I was with Rob that day. We got arrested. The guy smelled the street.
That's true. Jake, can you shit in my role is demanding that Periphery come to Ireland.
That's someone's name, by the way. Can you shit? He wasn't asking you to do that.
I thought that was part of the question.
Oh, no. The
username. Shit in my role. Oh, and there's a question.
Username, can you shit in my role, asks.
Well, he's not
Ireland
asking,
with your band.
He's telling.
He wants us to go to Ireland?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to go to Ireland.
Yeah.
It's hard to get there.
Usually the bands don't really have much to do with it. It's their booking agents.
On the
we
bright
get to
side,
say yes or no, but like they pick where we go.
Yeah.
I'll just say you don't have to tip when you go there.
That's another, point. Yeah. It's another reason to go over there. But, Ireland, not many bands go there.
Huh. So Kansas and Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ireland is the Kansas of Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Primordial goes there. They're from there. Deep, you guys.
They have no choice.
Yep. All right, show's winding down and WrestleMania's in a few minutes, so we're going to end it
a few
minutes early. Uh-huh. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode, and Sid will be back, and maybe Jake will be here again.
Possibly.
And Darren will be here. Noah will
be here.
What if I just decided?
Why wouldn't you be here, Darren?
We'll
I'm
be
asking
really
theoretically.
Upset.
I'll stop.
Because you usually come in like with 5 minutes until the show starts, so we're always like at the edge of our seats.
Oh,
like,
please!
Is Darren gonna get here?
And I always do.
And you always do, and then it's like a release of tension.
I'll try to come right. Is that a hint?
No. I just want you to come next week.
All right.
For the show.
We're about to release some tension by watching WrestleMania.
Oh,
ooh.
I thought you were gonna say something else.
I don't know.
I got nervous.
All right, we're getting out of here. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Get and gift. Finger.
Dust in the wind.
P-E-N-I-F.
Dust in the wind. Same old song.
Under.
Just a drop of water in an endless sea.
Abortion.
All we are is dust in the wind.
Fox. Bestiality. Breastfeeding and Fox. Irishmen who drink. Premature ejaculation.
You're too fucking stupid to live here! Go to hell! You are of no use to anybody.
Nothing left forever but the earth and sky. Away. And all your money won't another minute by. Dust in the wind.
You're cheating.
All we are is dust in the wind.
All we are is dust in the wind.
Dust in the wind.
Of course.
Everything is dust in the wind.
Of course. I think so. Pew, pew, pew! No, 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 no!
Get the fuck off the internet!